This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Thanks for being with us, especially if you're listening in somewhere around the world via TuneIn Radio or the Radio Player Canada app. Always wonderful to have you on board checking out the program. We're here daily from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV in Canada and around the world visiting with you on AMI Audio starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Today, Kelly McDonald sitting here with Brock Richardson. Appreciate you as well out there. And we'd like to welcome in Fern Lullum from the UK for our bi-weekly check.
What's on your mind? I'm Fern Lullum from the UK, and whether serious, silly, or somewhere in between, I've got you covered. Let's face it, the most effective therapy is a chat with your bestie.
So, Fern, I don't have to say it already. I'll wait till the end of the conversation, but wow, looks like another good conversation that we've got. So welcome back to the program. And today we're going to talk about body image and how we can think differently about the way we look.
Yes, that is right. I mean, body image is something that has a huge impact on so many of us for various different reasons. So I thought today, let's see if we can change our minds about our bodies.
We get our own interpretations always. What do I think? What do I, not only of ourselves or whatever, but what that means. So firstly, what are we talking about when we use the term body image?
Yes, it's a term that's thrown around a lot, isn't it? And so basically what body image is it's referring to any of your thoughts, your feelings, your perceptions, or your behaviors that you exhibit in relation to your body. So in short, it's your relationship to the way you look and your body. And the good news about that is that very often when we think about the way that we look, it's easy to think, well, I don't have that much control over that. You know, there's only so much that can be done. And a lot of the things that can be done are probably out of my means to do. You know, they're very expensive to sort of have plastic surgery and all that kind of thing. So there's only so much we can do here. But when it comes to the way you feel about yourself and the way you think about yourself, it might feel impossible to change that. But actually, a lot of that is in our control. So there is hope.
Why do we so often have insecurities about the way we look?
I think there are so many factors that go into this, Brock. So there is, you know, we grow up, we have certain experiences maybe when in childhood. So we might have our parents sort of making comments about the way that we look, you know, or we might have a brother or sister that might be, you know, more attractive than us, or at least that's what everyone is telling us. We always compare ourselves to them. We might kind of be bullied at school for the way that we look, and that can, you know, we can carry that with us throughout our lives and always remember those horrible comments that were made. Talking of comparison, we live in a world of comparison. You know, we have social media these days where everyone is looking perfect, or at least so it would seem on the screen. And so we compare ourselves to everyone that we think is just a normal person. You know, like right back in the day, people used to compare themselves to models that they'd see in magazines. And at least you could say, but they're models. But these days, it just looks like everyday people are looking stunning constantly. And how can we compare with that? How can we keep up? And then, of course, there's just this societal pressure, isn't there, everywhere on films, we see it in books, everything, where it's kind of like to be desirable, to be attractive, you need to look a certain way. And so we're kind of chasing that all of the time. So there's so many things that are going into our minds that are making us feel terrible about the way that we look in our bodies.
I remember as a kid watching a show and a character was getting chewed out by another character, and they were using big descriptive words and how they were describing this person's behavior, and the person stopped and looked at them and said, when I get to a dictionary, you're in trouble. And as a kid, I used to feel the same way if I got little comments, jokes made or whatever, and ha ha, everybody laugh. And all I kept thinking is, and I'd say to people, well, you know, if I had sight, I'm sure I could find some things to say about you too. Not that that made me any better than them, of course, but it's defensiveness. It's the way you feel. So what impact can that poor body image have?
Well, it really can have so many impacts, but the biggest ones I would say is that, of course, we all know this. You can have some really negative thoughts and feelings about yourself, and you can really find yourself caught in a rumination about it and quite anxious. You know, you can just find yourself worrying about it all the time, and it can become quite obsessive. And then you can kind of develop this very unhealthy relationship with food or with exercise, where you're constantly thinking about it and obsessing about it, and everything has to be just so. And that can just kind of spiral until you just start acting in ways that you weren't before, because you're just so caught up in these thoughts of, I've got to make sure that I'm this certain way, I've got to try and control the way that I look or control how my body looks. And like I say, it can just become this very anxious loop that, you know, you get really caught up in and you can't get out of.
You can really go into what I'm going to call like a gut reaction. As you say, it's like, well, this person said this. And I think of doctors who, when you see them once every year and you go roll into their office and they say, oh, you put on weight. You know, it's due to the fact that, you know, your diet choice, and maybe you should change the diet. You feel like walking away and you go, yeah, it's not that easy. And so even something as simple as that can really spiral you into behavior patterns that you don't want to. So with that said, can we talk a little bit about what kind of behavior patterns we might fall into because of all this?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's so true. That can really have a hit on your self-esteem when something like that happens. And so the kind of behaviors that we might see that come from this, it can get to the point where even the most social person who loves hanging out with friends might sort of pull that back and say, I don't want to be around people because maybe, you know, they might make a comment or I might not look good. Or even if they're going to be around people, they might very heavily cover up. So, you know, wear things where you just can't see any parts of their body, or, you know, and also we can very much zone in on a particular part. I don't know, you know, if people listening have any experience of this, where you can just kind of obsess over this one thing. And if you talk to other people about it, they'll say, well, I never even noticed that your nose looked a certain way, or your feet were like that. But you have it in your mind. Maybe you zoomed into a picture once and you saw it, and now it's just, that's the thing. That is your thing that you always worry about. And that can be really, really difficult. And then, of course, we can, when it comes to, you know, particularly like you were talking about sort of weight and things like that, you can get obsessive about, what am I eating? I need to control my intake. I need to go to the gym so many times a week. And we start prioritizing these things over everything else. So again, friendships and other things get put to the back of the list because we've got to get to the gym. So there's no time to just hang out with our friends and have fun and do the things that we would much rather really be doing. And part of that kind of like controlling thing with the food can be yo-yo dieting. We hear about this all the time, where it's kind of like, no, I'm going to really heavily restrict myself. And then you get to a point where you're just like, I'm starving and you can't help it anymore. And you just go on a big old eating fest and then you feel shame. And it's just a horrible cycle, isn't it? You just get caught in it and you just can't just get yourself out of it.
It's interesting interpretation too, because as a big guy, I've had people make the remark when you go buy clothes, oh, we don't have that size in here. Oh, okay. Or with doing theater, I've had often looking for wardrobe and going to borrow stuff from another space, going to the wardrobe person that oversees that. They work with everyone and turn to me and say, okay, well, let's see what might fit you. And you just sort of like feel that guilt or awkwardness and just like, oh man, I wish I wasn't here for this, or, oh, this is going to cause me anxiety even before I get here and get trying stuff. Fern, may I be a little personal and ask, have you ever struggled with body image? Anything that's been for you an awkward problem or where you've interpreted that way?
Yeah, 100% I have. And I think this is something where we often don't talk about it. And I think it's so important what you were saying there, Kelly, because it's the shame that builds up around it. And when people make those comments, we can feel terrible, but very often we don't say anything to anyone. You know, we don't even sort of go home and say to somebody else, oh, that happened, because it's almost awkward to repeat it. We don't want people to know that that happened. And so, yeah, I went through a period when I was a teenager, very, you know, classic scenario, teenage girl growing up, I was very worried about how I looked, and all of my friends were starting to get boyfriends and girlfriends, and I didn't want to be left behind, basically. And so another big part of this is just trying to feel attractive and desirable. And so I ended up having an eating disorder in the end, because I really got, like I said, obsessive about calorie counting and restricting the amount of food that I was eating, to the point where I started lying to people and, you know, telling them that I'd eaten when I hadn't, hiding food from my parents because I, you know, they thought I'd had it and I hadn't. And of course, the whole time you're feeling like it's you against the world, because the world wants you to eat and you don't want to eat. And of course, in reality, all you're doing is damaging yourself and damaging your body. But that takes precedence and priority over everything else. It's just a very, very unhealthy place to be. So, yeah, I know how that feels. And it can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and it really is a tough scenario when it does feel like you against the world. I mean, I remember going in and just purely looking at a pattern on a shirt. I had no intention of buying it, nothing at all. And the clerk walked out over and she said to me, "We don't have the size that'll fit you." And I turned to look at, I said, "I'm looking at the pattern." And it was like, well, that made me feel like I was, you know, lower than low. And it does. Yeah. It literally feels like you against the world. So if we do have this sort of thing where we feel like we have a body image, bad body image, what can we do to fix that?
So I think awareness is really important, and going hand in hand with that is an acceptance that maybe you do have a problem here. Because I know for me, with my experience, it took me a long time to actually admit that this wasn't just, you know, oh, I'm just being careful. I'm just being, you know, healthily making sure that I'm eating right. I had to get to a point where I'm saying, this isn't healthy. This is actually unhealthy what I'm doing. And although, you know, everyone says, oh, it's healthy to be really thin, being too thin is also unhealthy, you know, so you've got to draw the line somewhere. And so to say to yourself, I don't think that this is good what I'm doing here, and I need to look at that, that is such a huge step. And I really commend anyone that does that, because it's not easy. And then from that, you can really start to think about, what thoughts am I having here, and how can I change those thoughts? How can I speak to myself in a more positive way? Also, there's so much goodness in acknowledging that we are more than just our bodies. You know, make a list of all the things that you like about yourself that actually have nothing to do with your appearance, nothing to do with what you look like, because there's so much, you are so much more. You know, people, your friends, the people that love you the most, probably aren't there because of how you look. You know, they're probably there for a million other things. And we need to remember that, because we forget that so, so often. And yep. Like I say, if you're really struggling, reach out and speak to someone. I know it's hard. I know it's embarrassing and it can be awkward, but that isolation and that shame is the thing that keeps this going, and it can make it spiral and get worse and worse, as I know from firsthand experience. So, you know, shame can't exist when you can speak about it and you can have someone by your side to support you. So I really encourage anyone to do that.
Fern, we've got to wrap up, but how might being vision impaired or blind impact on your body image?
Well, I think there's a massive misconception that you won't care. If you can't see it, you know, why do you care what you look like? But of course, everyone else can. And that's the thing that I think most of us are worried about, sighted or not, when we think about body image, is how we're appearing to other people as well as ourselves. But I do think that, you know, we have to see that we are more than just how we look. And there are going to be things that we can't control, like our sight. But we don't need to go to food or to counting calories or to trying to change ourselves in some way in order to fix that. Because very often we can overcompensate. And so I think the more we can build the relationship with ourselves and tell ourselves, actually, I'm okay, not only will that help us feel better about our bodies, but it'll improve our relationship and our self-esteem all at the same time as a whole. And that can have just a completely transformative effect on everything.
Fern, as usual, great topic, but mostly thank you very much for once again sharing your own feelings and life experience.
Of course, my pleasure. I hope it helps.
You bet. Fern Lullum joins us every other Thursday on the program opposite What in the World. So please tune in again in a couple of weeks. Up next ahead, Brock and I will return. The Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario is empowering teens to break the silence on mental health with a peer-to-peer support network. Nazreen Abdul-Majeed joins us next. She'll be sharing that story with us on the bus.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. Join me every day for Double Tap. It's a show where we occasionally talk about technology for blind and partially sighted people. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.